And welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM. Of course, brought to you by VeritasMedical.com. Check out VeritasMedical.com for past archived programs and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, right here on the program once again. Let me say good morning to Dr. Edwards. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hope you're doing great. Hope you had a great weekend.
Yeah, I went down to Belton, saw the family. It's a good weekend.
Fantastic. Well, we got a special guest on the show today as well.
Yeah, we've got Dr. Mark Berkler today. We'll bring him in just a second. You know, I'm sure everyone's expecting me to talk about COVID and... Yeah, I'm sure we will maybe a little bit, but today's show is going to be a little different because I just feel convicted that we've got to rise above the fray a little bit. It really hit me last week. Some parents of children of Lubbock ISD students asked me to testify at the school board about masks, and I've been so tuned out of the mask debate because I thought it was over. I mean, there's 12 randomized controlled trials that tell you wearing masks don't help. The biggest one, the Danish study, 6,000 people, half wore masks, half didn't. Same rate of infection. People that wore the mask exactly like they were supposed to versus those that didn't. It was like 2.0 versus 2.1% got infected. It just seems like mind-boggling. You know, my wife asked me, don't y'all have people breathe into a paper sack when they're having anxiety attack, panic attack? I said, yeah, we do. And don't you do that so they can get their CO2 level up? I said, yeah, we do. Wasn't there a study somewhere out there that shows CO2 goes up in these kids that wear masks? I just did a little search on PubMed real quick. Yeah, matter of fact, in July there was one. JAMA Pediatrics. Kids wearing a mask for 9 minutes had 6 times the level of carbon dioxide they should have. That study was retracted 3 days later. So I emailed the author in Germany. I don't know if I talked about this last week or not. And I just emailed him and said, hey, what happened? Why'd you get retracted? First line of his answer, Dr. Edwards, it was purely political. He said, I've asked JAMA for an explanation. Twice I've asked them. I've emailed them. I've called them. That's where we're at. In my opinion, common sense, scientific evidence, we have to have a randomized controlled trial to tell us breathing oxygen's healthy and breathing and masking you increases your CO2. Where are we at? I mean, we've got 13,000 deaths reported in VAERS, 45,000 a month ago from a whistleblower, and another analysis out of the UK that it's probably closer to 100. From an experimental gene therapy, and no one's talking about it. Not one single press conference from CDC and FDA on it. There should be a data safety monitoring board. Every other experimental studied biological agent has a data safety monitoring board. That's normal. That's what always happens. And then if there's too many deaths associated, they pull it. They stop it. That's just the way it is. This is the only time in history that I know of there's not a data safety monitoring board on this study of the gene therapy shot. And there's a study. 80% of the deaths are within a week. Half of them are within 48 hours. And a UK study looked at it and said 83% of these reported deaths on VAERS, they went through and looked at every single, they read the actual report. 83% of them have no logical, reasonable other cause of death. And then we've got the early outpatient treatment that's been out for over a year. Reduces hospitalization by 85 to 90%. These are common drugs that have been around forever. And no one's talking about it. This is an epidemic right now. I realize the hospitals are full, but of the untreated, it's clear. But anyways, I find myself getting a little too worked up. And I know, and then my wife jumps in and says, Ben, the truth cannot be proven with data because the truth is a person. And that person told us when he leaves, he will send us the Spirit of truth. The truth can only be discerned. I can't dump enough data into your lap to prove truth to you. If the scales are on your eyes and your heart is hardened and you're too scared to say you were wrong, too scared to confess and repent, I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. I tell my kids every day, confess and repent is the number one thing I want you to learn in our household before you go out into the world. It's great if you learn math and science and all that, but confession and repentance is by far and away the number one character trait all of us need. And, you know, I'm still working on myself. I'll get prideful with my wife. I'm right, you're wrong. I mean, it's hard. We're humans. But back to the truth. The truth has to be discerned spirit to spirit. The spirit of truth to your spirit. And when you sense the truth, go with it. Because there will be a deception, a delusion. In fact, God's going to send this delusion. And there will be many who will believe the lie because they failed to love the truth. They failed to discern the truth. And when I started discerning the truth in 2012, the adversary to the spirit of truth came to me. The spirit of fear came to me and said, you better not go with the truth. Where's your provision going to come from? How are you going to provide for your family? The spirit of man-pleasing came to me and said, what are all your friends going to think? What are your colleagues going to think? What's everybody going to think? You know, these thoughts come into people's minds. You have to be your own provision, your own protection, your identity wrapped up in what you do and your title and your initials behind your name and your position of authority as whatever leader of whatever institution. Righteous rulers will stand up and do what is right, no matter what the cost. And they will confess and repent and turn the other way when they're convicted that they've been walking not in the truth. So I could sit here for the 20th week in a row or however many weeks we've been talking about this and just dump more and more data on you about vaccine failure. And I can quote from all the vaccine experts who are all pro-vaccine. I think I've done that already. Nobel Prize winners. The guy that invented the mRNA vaccine. The guy that worked for Bill and Melinda Gates Vaccine Foundation. He warned us in March and now it's come true. We will force a more virulent strain to emerge. I mean, I've gone through all that. Go watch it on Rumble, Veritas Medical Rumble, if you didn't hear it. But anyways, so we need to turn. We need to rise above this and start discerning things from a spiritual point of view and get out of the physical. Because being in the physical is going to keep us divided and keep us conquered. And the Book of Truth tells us, has predicted these things. And it appears that that's where we're at today. So, how do you hear from the Spirit of Truth? Well, obviously, read your Bible. I was born and raised in church and read my Bible all my life. But I didn't know about actually hearing from the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, hearing from God. Dr. Mark Verkler is a great man. He knows about natural medicine because he's done some naturopathic study and a doctor of naturopathy, but he's got a doctorate in theology, and he's been a pastor, minister. He's got a website, Communing with God Ministries is his ministry, CWG, Communing with God, CWGMinistries.org. I hope this is the first of many conversations with Mark and his wife, Patty Verkler. They make an amazing team. I've asked Mark to come on today because this is, it's past time. I should have done this a long time ago. It's regarding the peace pillar. You know, there's an AI study I just heard about last week. That artificial intelligence went back and combed through every single piece of medical literature on COVID-19. And you know what they found the number one risk factor was for getting COVID-19 and dying? Sugar. I would suggest, though, I don't know how they did that study exactly, how they programmed the AI to look. I'm going to submit that I think there's something more powerful than that, and it's fear. and the spirit of fear overtook this whole country, overtook doctors, overtook patients, overtook everybody, to the point doctors wouldn't even treat, and some, many still don't treat this outpatient to get that 85% to 90% reduction in risk of going to the hospital in the ICU. I've talked to so many ICU doctors. I feel for them. They're worn out, stressed out. Everybody's stressed out. I said, let's have a press conference, me and you, and demand outpatient treatment. Anyways, I'm going back into the physical. Why are we here? Why is all this happening? Why is this craziness going on? For those that do see the truth, it'll drive you crazy. So pleased to have Dr. Mark Berkler with us today to discuss the antidote to the spirit of fear and the antidote to being stuck in the physical realm. And that is to remember that we're spiritual beings, and the one that created us, loves us, rules for our benefit, wants to communicate with us, does communicate with us. But a lot of us don't know how to hear that and see that and discern that. So, Dr. Mark Berkler, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us today.
Mr. Ben, it's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're very welcome. Feel free if you feel led to comment on any of that, but also, just an introduction of yourself, too. Just kind of tell people who you are and a little bit of how you got from where you were to where you are, and go as deep as you want to into that, if you don't mind.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. I'd like to say amen to that amazing sermon that you just preached.
Thank you.
I think it's right on, totally right on. And I agree, fear is probably the number one cause right now for most of us. It shuts down our immune system, and once the immune system shut down, then anything can grow. So we don't have the spirit of fear. We have the spirit of faith, the Bible says. And right now, as you've mentioned, the world is promoting the spirit of fear, and the best way to react to that, I'm sure, is to hear God's voice. He says, perfect love cast out fear. And I got saved when I was 15 years of age, in a very conservative, fundamentalist Baptist church. And God put within my heart a really deep hunger to be a biblical man and just to search the scriptures. And as I did, what I noticed is that people in the Bible all heard the voice of God, starting with Genesis, Abraham in Genesis, father of faith, and Genesis 15, he's hearing God's voice, seeing visions, and really seeing miracle of a nation as a result of that. And you go to the other end of the Bible, Revelation, the whole book of Revelation is in John. He's hearing God's voice, seeing vision, writing out what he's getting, and Jesus was very clear, my sheep hear my voice. And I said, well, I'm a sheep. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, so that means, according to Jesus, I hear his voice. Because Jesus didn't even say, my sheep might hear my voice, or I hope they hear my voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I mean, that's like a statement of fact. And so I thought, fine, I'm just going to quiet myself down and listen for his voice, and that I'll be able to hear God's voice just like it did in the Bible time. So I quieted myself down in prayer and asked God to speak to me, and I'm listening for what I assume his voice would sound like. I assumed it'd be like a booming bass voice, and I'm listening, and of course I hear nothing. And I thought, that didn't work. I said, this is supposed to work. This is the Bible. This is supposed to work. And so I said, well, let's see. Maybe if I just read more scripture, that'll solve it. So I sat down, read through the New Testament, and then I went to my prayer closet, and I asked God to speak to me, and quieted myself down, listened, and I still did not hear a voice that I could identify as a voice. And I thought, that didn't work either. This is supposed to work. So I thought, well, I'll try some fasting. So I fasted, and I was pretty young back then, because this was going back 40 years ago, 1979, when I learned how to hear his voice. So I fasted till I was really skinny, which was great, because then I was very healthy. And when I listened to hear God's voice, I still could not identify a voice, which is ridiculous, because Jesus was very clear, my sheep hear my voice. And I know he's not lying, and I know the Bible's true, and I have no idea why I can't hear a voice. And so I went to Bible college, got a 4-year degree to get trained for the ministry. And I've been in the pastoral ministry. I mean, I started teaching kids in Sunday school when I was 15 years of age, and I'm 69 now, so I've been in ministry all my life. And so I went to Bible college, got trained to be a minister, and hung up my degree, and went to hear God's voice. There was still no voice that I could identify. Now, there was a voice, I just didn't know what it sounded like. And when I asked people, you know, how do you hear God's voice? You know, they did not give me an answer that helped me. They said, well, you just know that you know that you know. And I said, no. I said, if I knew, I would not be asking you how to hear God's voice. Don't tell me I know. That just makes me mad, you know. And so that answer didn't help at all. And so I kept asking. And I assumed that God's voice probably came from his spirit, which lives within me. Because when you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, the Bible says that his spirit enters us, we become one spirit with him. And so I said, well, maybe if I could ask people how to define your heart and your spirit, then maybe that would help me learn how to hear God's voice. So I asked them, you know, what's my heart feel like? They said, oh, it doesn't feel like anything. I said, why not? They said, well, they said, feelings are emotions, and emotions are part of your soul. And I said, oh, okay, so I can't feel my heart. So then could you tell me how to sense my heart? They said, well, it's the innermost part of you. I said, no. No, that's where it's located. I asked you, how do you sense your heart? They said, oh, it's a part that talks to God. I said, no, that's what it does. How do you sense your heart? And there was no one in my world who could tell me how to sense my heart. And I'm going to use the word heart and spirit basically interchangeably, because in the Bible I would say there's at least a 95% overlap between those two words. And I'm trying to sense my heart or my spirit, because I'm assuming the Holy Spirit is speaking from within my heart, and no one can even define it, you know, what my heart feels like, how to sense it. And yet I'm supposed to walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, worship in Spirit, and I can't even define how to sense my spirit. So I'm like totally stuck. And I thought, this is really disgusting, you know, that there's no way I can live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit, because I can't even find anyone who can help me define what my spirit sounds like. So this is basically took me through the first 10 years of my Christian life, from age 15 to age 25. It was a very frustrating time, because since I couldn't hear the voice of God and no one could teach me how to, I just had to live according to biblical law. You know, if there's a rule in the Bible, I try to keep it. And well, living according to law isn't very much fun, because the Bible says the law is supposed to be a tutor that leads us to Christ, and the law is given to us to prove that we can't keep it, and sure enough, I couldn't keep it. Mm-hmm. So I was always failing, and I was always feeling guilty, and I was always feeling condemned, and I thought, man, this is the abundant life, huh? And so for me, it was a 10-year battle, you know, coming to a point where finally, I did receive a revelation from God as to how to hear his voice, and now for the last 40 years of my life, I've been teaching how to hear God's voice. Wrote a book on the four keys to hearing God's voice. It's been translated now into 55 languages, and I've traveled worldwide for 40 years, and it's very simple, very easy to hear God's voice once you know what you're supposed to do. And once you can hear God's voice, he brings peace. You know, he's the author of peace, the father of peace, he speaks peace to you, he removes the fear from us, and now our immune systems can function normally. Now I have to live in fear and paranoia, now I stand up straight and stand up strong and be a world changer, you know, be full of confidence, but that all results from hearing his voice. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. So the flesh profits nothing, but my words are spirit and life. So for each one of us, it's like crucial to learn to hear his voice.
Amen. What do you say to folks who might, you know, maybe they're in a denomination or a very traditional mindset of the written word is all there is. There's nothing outside of that. There's no revelation or you can't add to. So, and therefore, mm-hmm. You can't hear. You know, I'm sure some folks have told you that, or maybe you even used to think it. I don't know. But what do you say to that?
Well, you know, when I hear God's voice, I'm not adding that to the Bible as another book of the Bible. Okay, that's not what it's about. It's about receiving personal direction for my life today. And I was taught the same thing, because I grew up in a traditional denomination that, you know, once the Bible is written, God stops speaking. But that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And you've already quoted the verse where he said he's going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to lead us into all truth. I mean, that's crystal clear. And he didn't just say that once. I mean, he said that 6, 8, 10 times. It's the Spirit who's going to lead us into truth. And so to say, well, he's not here anymore, is definitely very unbiblical. And it's very irritating to God. Because one of the things that Jesus was really, the only group he got really upset with was religious leaders who became a barrier between those who wanted to follow God and God. And he said, you know, you just put roadblocks in the way. And, you know, I was pondering this for a video series that I'm going to be taping now here this Saturday. It's a book I wrote years ago on 49 lies that I repented of when I renounced Phariseeism. And I'm going to videotape those 49 lies. And one of the lies is what you've just mentioned. God no longer speaks today. And in my journaling, in that book, journaling is where I write down what God is saying to me, I was absolutely astounded at how angry Jesus got at that belief and at those who perperpetrate that belief. And so much so that I went back and reread the Gospels just to see if the anger I was hearing in my journaling was the same anger that he expressed in the Gospels towards people who put barriers in God in people's ways to hear God's voice. And it's the same anger. I mean, he said, man, if you're going to mess with somebody's faith, a child's faith, and weaken their faith, it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck and for you to be drowned. So he's, like, intensely angry with people who wound people's faith. And to say God no longer speaks to you, it's like this. Here's a story. Let's say I'm going to have to go away. I'm going to the other side of the world for a while, and I've got children, which I do. I have 2 children. And so I put my children in the care of a tutor. And Jesus, he said he had to go away, and he was going to put his church in the care of some pastors. And I said to the tutor who was going to take care of my children, and I said, yeah, I do have a book here with some rules and things, but I want you to know that I'm going to have internet connection, Zoom connection, every single day, because I really want to stay in touch with my kids. And I want you to make sure you let them know that anytime they have any questions, they can talk to me. They can see me, and we'll chat every day. And instead of doing that, the tutors that I leave in charge say to my kids, the internet's down, the Zoom is down, it's no longer available, there's no longer any direct connection between you and your parents, and you're going to have to live out of this book of rules now that he left for you, that they left for you. How angry would I be as a parent towards those tutors or pastors or religious leaders or Pharisees who said to my kids, there's no longer any direct communication with them? When Jesus was crystal clear, and I was crystal clear to the tutors, Jesus said, look, my sheep hear my voice. I've sent the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you into all truth. And they say, nope, the Holy Spirit's not available. You can't see visions anymore. I know they did through all of Scripture for several thousand years, but you can't anymore. You can't see anymore, Jesus. You can't hear his voice anymore. How angry would I be as a parent towards those people I left in charge of my kids who said to them, no more direct encounter with God. You have to live out of a book now. Well, man, we were never designed to live out of a book. In the Garden of Eden, Jesus didn't hand them a book and say, here, try to keep it. He took a walk with them every day in the cool of the day. We were designed to live out of a relationship, in fellowship with our Heavenly Father, not out of a book. And for spiritual leaders to say, no more daily walks with God, Garden of Eden's all over, Second Adam did not restore what the First Adam lost, he didn't bring us back into daily fellowship with God, we can't abide in Christ and be one with the Father like Jesus was, even though Jesus said we could abide in him and be one with the Father. But we can't do that. Here's a book. Live out of a book. Grunt hard to try to keep the rules. You know, it's definitely the kind of thing that makes Jesus so angry. And again, anyone can just go read through some of the stuff Jesus said to the Pharisees. He was furious that they said to his children, you cannot hear the Father's voice, because Jesus said, I'm showing you how to live. And Jesus said, I do nothing on my own initiative. It's only what I hear my Father speaking and see my Father doing. Now, he said that about 8 times. He was crystal clear. I don't do things on my own. I'm tuned to the voice and the vision of my Father, and I live out of that. That's called living by the Spirit. We are commanded in Galatians 5:25 to live and walk by the Spirit, which is the way Jesus lived. And to say that's no longer available and you have to live out of a book is a horrendous desecration of Christianity. No more living contact with the living God. Here's a book. Run hard to keep the rules. That's my response.
That was excellent. And I could not agree more, 100%. We're going to have to take a break because I want to get into how you, you know, the four keys, your book, the four keys to hearing God's voice, but, you know, what led you to that and what exactly those are. For new listeners, we have lots of new listeners. I think the COVID thing has attracted lots of folks. And I just want to say for new listeners, especially if you're not a believer, I would encourage you to try it out. seek the truth. Just earnestly seek it. And I'm not talking about church and religion, but earnestly seek. God will meet you if you're earnestly seeking. And although I grew up in religion and church all my life, it wasn't until 2007 when we were trying to get pregnant with our second child. First child, it's no problem. We got off birth control first month, boom, pregnant. Got back on birth control a couple years down the road. On our planning, our timing, we thought, okay, time for our next kid. We wanted to have four kiddos. It's time for number two. Got off birth control. Nothing. Didn't get pregnant that first month like we expected. No big deal. Second month, nothing. Third month, nothing. Third, four, six, seven, 12 months, nothing. So now we're officially infertile. Went another 12 months of fertility treatments. So after a couple years of this, I was reading in the Book of Truth, and the verse in Matthew that talks about, seek ye first the kingdom, then all these things will be given unto you. And that verse jumped out at me that day. I'd read it before, obviously, many times. But that day it struck me in a different way. In my spirit, it resonated, and I went to my wife and I said, whoa, look at this. We've got things backwards. We need to quit seeking out a second pregnancy or any more pregnancies. We need to quit seeking out anything in our own strength, in our own thinking, our own mind, our own wishes and desires. We need to seek the kingdom, which I didn't even know exactly what that meant at the time. But truly, my heart lay it down. But I truly prayed earnestly to God. I want to seek the kingdom. Don't know what it is exactly. Show me earnestly, like in my heart, earnestly. I ain't really, I was saved, when I was like 11, but at that moment I made that first step of submitting to God's sovereignty, actually trusting and being obedient to, you're in charge, I'm not, your ways are higher than my ways, and I actually, I want to believe that, I do believe that, I'm a baby in it now, but help me with that and help me with my unbelief, and I just had that conversation, and from there, boom, it all went, and the first place it went was to battle the spirit of doubt and unbelief, which came in through higher education and regular, high school education, college, med school, this thought of evolution. That was a big stumbling block, and it brought in doubt and unbelief, and so God knew that, and when I earnestly asked and saw it, that He knew that was my number one hurdle, so He brought a ton of PhD scientists, nanotech, astrophysicists and all this stuff to show me clearly, the theory of evolution is complete bunk. I mean, even Darwin himself said, my theory I'll consider it complete bunk if you show this thing called irreducible complexity, which I won't go into now. You go back and listen to my interview with Michael Behe, who has a book called Darwin's Black Box, but I'm not going to get into that, but evolution's been totally debunked. But God, the point is, God knew that's what I needed to help on my journey, and then it was on to other things after that. And the point is, God will meet you where you're at, and He will give you what you need if you're earnestly seeking it. And this book is actually 66 books, authored, 40 different authors of these books that make up the Bible. Written over 1,500 years, over three different continents, in three different languages, and all together tell one unifying, amazing, consistent, glorious story. So I encourage y'all out there who maybe don't know about how to seek the truth and about this book of truth, or maybe you're brought up in religion, or you have some roadblock there, just earnestly pray and ask God to show you, and I believe He will. So when we come back, with Dr. Mark Verkler. We're going to talk about how do you exactly hear from God, and how did he figure out how to hear from God after asking all these folks that couldn't give him answers. So y'all stick with us. CWGMinistries.org. That stands for Communion with God Ministry.org. Mark Verkler. That's V as in Victor, I-R-K-L-E-R. Stick with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ben Edwards. You're the Cure. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Got Dr. Mark Verkler with us today, Communing with God Ministries, CWG Ministries with an S, .org. Sorry, had the website not pulled up. I was looking at Scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. Actually, I'm going to start halfway through, so probably verse 10. They perished because they did not accept the love of the truth in order to be saved. For this reason, God sends them a strong delusion so that they will believe what is false, so that all will be condemned. Those who do not believe the truth but enjoyed an unrighteousness. And, I mean, I just don't know how else to explain where we're at right now. There's over 60 studies on ivermectin. C19, ivermectin.com, I believe, is the website. I just saw out of a study out of Africa. They graphed out all the countries in Africa that use ivermectin routinely, like, you know, every week, prophylactically, for other things, for malaria and other things, parasites. So there's certain countries that just routinely give out ivermectin. And they compared those to the countries that don't. And they looked at the COVID-19 cases and the deaths. And I don't have it right in front of me, but it was something like 900 cases per 100,000 people versus about 100 cases on the ivermectin versus non-ivermectin. Because I'm hearing a little more chatter out there. There's a Time magazine article that ivermectin's no good. And I'm hearing more and more about that. It's like they're trying to pull the hydroxychloroquine move on ivermectin now. When there's so much overwhelming data, and testimonials from doctors. We had Ben Marble on. He's at 50,000 treated through telemedicine. 25,000 of those were sick. 25,000 were prophylactic. And he's had 4 deaths. Amy Offit is around 1,200 treated with 1 death, and that was in the 92 or 94-year-old who presented on the 12th day of illness. Stella Manuel, I don't know where she's at. I know 1,000 people a day her telemedicine group is seeing. Dr. Zelenko up in New York has been treating with hydroxychloroquine since, you know, early, like April of 2020. There's a Zelenko protocol. Of course, Dr. McCullough. Dr. Urso down in Houston, he's treated, I think, 2,000 prophylactically and over 800 sick. And 1 death, I believe, is what he said. Dr. Brian Tyson out in 3 urgent care centers in Southern California, high risk population, metabolic syndrome, obesity, high risk. 6,200 patients treated early, and early means within the first 7 days. That's what Brian Tyson's definition of early is. 6,200 treated, 0 deaths. I'm telling you guys, it's the evidence is overwhelming at this point. But we just won't hear it. I mean, where are the billboards? Where are the flyers? Where's the public service announcements? Where's the daily, weekly press conference from local health authorities and local civilian leaders of, hey, guys, here's all the different centers. And monoclonal antibodies are great. It's a great option, but I don't hear about it. I'm hearing about it more now because the governor took it, I think. But Trump took it over a year ago. Where were all the monoclonal antibody centers? Where are all the advertisements? Why are we going back to what doesn't work? Throw a mask on it and let's hunker down and be afraid. But anyways, I'm getting back into the physical realm and data and arguments and debate. And if this is the great delusion, a strong delusion, then I'm spinning my wheels here. We're wasting time. It's time to move on. Narrow is the path. And it's time to move on. So, you know, we left it before the break, talking about, for those who maybe don't know Jesus or don't believe in God, I put out, I think it's a 10-part series. It's on Rumble, Veritas Medical Rumble. YouTube keeps censoring us too much, so we're putting a lot on Rumble now. But it's why I believe. And I go through step by step by step of the arguments that people had given me to not believe in God. You know, some of it's Darwin and evolution, but I go through so much prophecy and archaeology and just all kinds of stuff. So check out that 10-part series, Why I Believe, on Veritas Medical Rumble. But more importantly, pray. Ask God to reveal himself to you and seek it out. And then Dr. Mark Verkler was talking to me about another website he has for those who are new to Jesus and accepting him and as your Savior and God's sovereignty and submitting to that. BornOfTheSpirit.today is a website that's dedicated completely to just salvation and what it takes to be saved. So, Mark, you might speak on that a little bit before we get into the actual four keys to hearing God's voice and how you got there, and then we can talk about that. But talk about BornOfTheSpirit.today real quick.
Okay. Yeah, BornOfTheSpirit.today. It's a complete website just simply on salvation. Four steps to getting saved. It walks you through the steps, walks you through the prayer. The entire website is salvation. And when you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter said. He said, repent, be baptized, this is Acts 2:25, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. So for him, the focus of getting saved was they get the Holy Spirit. And I thought, wow, there's an altar call. Wow. So what does that mean now that I got the Holy Spirit? Well, that means I've got part of the Godhead alive within me, joined to me and flowing effortlessly out through me. So that entire website is devoted to, hey, what's the impact of that on your life? Now that you have God alive, living within you and joined to you, that changes everything and explores all the different ways that it changes your life. And, of course, one of the biggest and best ways, I think, is we get to hear God's voice. And if we choose to hear God's voice and choose the path of truth, then we no longer are succumbed to the spirit of delusion, which Dr. Ben talked about. God said he would send the spirit of delusion to those who don't want the truth. And, you know, I've several times in my life had to do what Dr. Ben did. I've had to choose, do I want the security of the system that surrounds me and the financial paycheck I get? Or do I want to pursue what my heart is saying is true, regardless of what it costs me? And as he's given up different jobs and paychecks, I've given up different jobs and paychecks because I pursued truth and therefore did not succumb to the spirit of delusion. So if you want to know if you have succumbed to it, you know, the Bible's really clear. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So are you full of peace? Are you full of joy? A merry heart does good like medicine. Are you laughing? Because those are the things that are health to your system, and right now the fear just tears all that from you. So to overcome fear, best way I know is to hear God's voice. And it was 10 years into my Christian life when I finally learned how to hear God's voice. I had a thought come to me, why don't you take a year of your life and learn to hear God's voice? And I thought, a whole year to learn one lesson? Are you kidding? I live in America. We read a book in 2 days and go on. And I had another thought saying, you've spent 10 years in diffused effort, you didn't get through. If you spent 1 year in focused effort and got through, it'd be the best year of your life. And I said, okay, I think I'll do it. So I took a year. Partway through that year, the Lord, he woke me up in the morning, actually with a booming bass voice, which is the only time in 69 years of my life that I've ever heard a booming bass voice. But biblically speaking, that is one of the ways he can talk, especially when he wants to shout to get your attention, and he was trying really hard to get my attention because I didn't know what his voice sounded like. He said, get up, I'm going to teach you to hear my voice. So I bolted straight up in bed, went over to my office, living in a parsonage, sat down, and God took me to Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2. Now, Habakkuk is a prophet who can hear God's voice, he can see visions, he can write down what God is saying to him. In Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2, God showed me four simple steps that Habakkuk was taking. And I tried them that day, and for sure enough, they worked. I was able to do exactly what Habakkuk did. I mean, Habakkuk wrote out three chapters of God talking to him and giving him vision. I was able to write by taking the same four steps. I was able to spend 5 hours that day and write for 5 hours God talking to me. And I shared it with my wife every half hour and kept asking her, hey, is this God? She said, yeah, that's God talking to you. So everything changed that day for me, okay? So Habakkuk 2, he said, I'm going to stand at my guard post. I'm going to keep watch to see what he's going to speak to me and how I should reply when I'm reproved. And God said, record the vision. So there's four statements. I'm going to stand at my guard post. So key number one is in that phrase, stand at my guidepost. I'm going to have a quiet place where I go and quiet my mind down to hear God's voice, because my thoughts are not his thoughts, the Bible says. So I just need to say to my own thoughts, shh, just stop thinking for a few moments here so you can pick up God's thoughts. And pretty much we all know to do that. And the best way I know to quiet my own thoughts is to do key number two. Key number two is in that phrase, I'm going to keep watch to see what he's going to speak. And I thought, see what he's going to speak? That doesn't make sense. You should have said, I'm going to listen to hear what he's going to speak. I mean, because when I'm trying to hear God's voice, I'm not trying to see anything. And I don't even know Habakkuk what you're trying to see. I mean, what are you looking for? And so as the Lord answered that question to me, he showed me that I'm to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. So I'm supposed to picture Jesus with me. I mean, that's the only command in the whole New Testament as to where my eyes are to be fixed. And I said, I could fix them on Washington. That would get me depressed. I could fix them on depressing news stories. That would get me depressed. Jesus could have fixed his eyes on Rome. He'd have been depressed. Jesus said, I do only what I see my Father doing. So he was very careful to make sure his eyes were only fixed on the Father, not on Rome. So here's what David did. David says in Acts 2, he says, I behold the Lord at my right hand, and I will not be moved. So he's seeing the Lord at his right hand, and he's quoting Psalm 16:8, where he says, I have set the Lord at my right hand. So he chose to picture the Lord at his right hand, and the next rest of that verse says, and I shall not be moved. Fear will not touch me, worry will not touch me, nothing will touch me, because I see Jesus next to me. Okay? Well, man, that was new. I had never used the eyes of my heart. I've never prayed, forget God, to anoint the eyes of my heart, to illumine them, but Paul taught us to pray that way, Ephesians 1:17. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be illumined, that you might know. I never prayed that prayer, and I've been a Christian for 10 years, so I started praying that prayer. I said, Lord, you take the eyes of my heart, and would you anoint them so I can see vision? Habakkuk asked for a vision, and you read Habakkuk chapters 2 and 3, you're going to see God gave him a vision, okay? John, he asked for a vision in Revelation 1, 9-11, and God gives him 22 chapters of vision. So because I've never asked for vision. I never looked for vision. I never fixed my eyes on Jesus. So spending my time fixing my eyes on the Antichrist and other things that would scare me spitless, which, of course, shuts down my immune system, so I'm pretty sure to be sick then. So I decided, look, instead of me visualizing stuff that the Bible didn't tell me to visualize, how about if I picture what the Bible tells me to picture? How about if I do what King David did? I have set the Lord at my right hand. I behold the Lord at my right hand. Acts 2 says that. So I just began picturing Jesus at my right hand, because the Bible says he is. He's Emmanuel, God with me. I can either picture what the Bible says is true, or I can picture something different that's opposite to what the Bible said. I can picture that there's nobody at my right hand. Well, that would be called a vain imagination, because now I'm picturing something contrary to Scripture. And whenever, if I have an evil imagination, which that would be an evil imagination, when I'm picturing something contrary to Scripture, the Bible says, then you go backward and not forward. So there's no such thing as me not picturing something. I'm going to picture either biblical truth, what the Bible says is true, or I'm going to picture something contrary. So I decided, instead of picturing myself alone and being scared spitless, I'm going to picture Jesus next to me like David did in Acts 2, Psalm 16:8. So I'm using the eyes of my heart, and I'm praying, Holy Spirit, would you take it over? Would you take him over? Would you give me a vision? I pictured myself next to Jesus, John chapter 4, Samaritan woman at the well. I picture myself sitting there in the well with Jesus. And I said, Holy Spirit, would you take this scene over? And then I tuned the flow, and the scene in my mind came alive, and Jesus gestured. Now, when it came alive, it was more than me picturing. It was now the Holy Spirit taking the scene over and me stepping from a godly imagination into a vision. Wow, and I decided I've discovered I can do that every day, all the time. And so as Jesus gestured, this is the first time I did this, as Jesus gestured, a spontaneous thought lit up on my mind, which was an answer to the question I was asking, Lord, how do I handle this rebellious teenage girl we took into our home? She's breaking all the rules, and I want to read her the riot act and say, look, if you're going to stay here, you're going to have to obey. And so I asked the Lord how to handle her. the spontaneous thought that came to me was love unconditionally. And I thought, huh, really? I'm just going to love her with conditions. Say, look, here's the rules. Keep them and stay in my house or else leave you. And I looked back at Jesus and said, Lord, is there more? After I wrote it down, he said, yeah, she's very insecure. And I thought, really? I thought she was rebellious. But I pondered that and realized she was a runaway girl that we'd taken into our home, so I bet she was insecure. And I'll bet her rebellion was just a facade to cover up the insecurity. And I can either minister to her facade, her rebellion, by punching her out, or I can minister to her insecurity by hugging her. So I took Jesus' advice that day and spent an hour when she came home from school just building a deeper relationship, and the fruit was really good. You can test things by the fruit. The fruit was she did not run away from my home. She stayed for the next year, came to church every Sunday. So that's good fruit. That's one of the ways to test whether what you're getting actually came from God or not. So now we're getting to the key number three. He said, I'm going to keep watching to see what he will speak to me. So what's his voice sound like? Well, I'm going to suggest God's voice sounds like flowing thoughts that light up on your mind while your eyes are fixed on Jesus. And the whole idea of flow was brand new to me because I had never had a course on flow in college or high school or any place. But the Bible's really clear to talk about flow. John 7:37-39, out of your innermost being, heart, spirit, shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke with the Spirit. So when I want to tune to the voice of the Holy Spirit within me, I will tune to flowing thoughts. I want to tune to the visions from the Spirit within me, I will tune to flowing pictures. So when that scene in my mind came alive in Jesus' gesture, that's a flowing picture, that's a vision. And when I said, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And thoughts spontaneously bubbled up and lit upon my mind, flowing thoughts, that's God's voice. And I began to write down the flowing thoughts and the flowing pictures that were coming to me, because that's what God told Habakkuk to do. He said, record the vision. We got three chapters there of Habakkuk doing that. You got David in the Psalms, 150 chapters of writing out his prayer time. You got John, the book of Revelation, 22 chapters of writing out his visionary encounter. You got all the prophets doing that, hundreds of chapters in the prophets. So these four keys are used over and over, and more than half the Bible is written by people who are using these four keys. I have a blog on our website which takes you through the different men who use the four keys, shows you the scriptures, you know. And so the four keys are stillness, vision, spontaneity, and journaling. And if you do all four at one time, you can hear God's voice easily and effortlessly. And if you're a child, you already do those pretty spontaneously, because kids don't even start entering the frontal lobe till about 8 years of age, where they start analytical critical thinking. Up to that point in time, they're spontaneous, flowing. That's what the Bible says, become like a child if you want to enter the kingdom. So just set aside your critical, analytical judgmentalism for a few minutes and just enter into flow. Be spontaneous, because the flow within you is the river of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that with self. He said, out of your innermost being shall flow. Didn't say might. Didn't say I hope this happens. He said, it's going to happen. So when I tune to flow, I'm tuning to the Holy Spirit. Now, I have a whole theology on flow now. In the first 10 years of my Christian life, I had no theology on flow because nobody taught me anything about it, and I cut it all off in favor of analytical, logical, cognitive reasoning, which was pretty much unbiblical, because the Bible says lean not to your understanding. He said, well, that's the way I figure everything out. He said, now you tune to flow. Jesus said, I do nothing on my own initiative. That means he didn't even think on his own. He said, I only do what I hear and see my Father doing. So he's living in flow all the time. So it's a completely countercultural way of living. It's the way that I've learned to live for the last 40 years. As a result of that, the fruit in my life is way beyond anything that I could have produced, because I planned on being a dairy farmer, milking cows, because I loved farming, and my dad was a farmer, and I was going to buy his farm. But God said, Mom, we're going to teach the world how to hear God's voice. And I said, really? So the world's a big place. He said, yeah, I'm a big God. I said, yeah, but I'm pretty small. He said, yeah, but I live inside of you, and if you'll say yes to what I tell you to do, you'll be able to do amazing things like disciple nations. And I said, huh, really? You think so? He said, yeah, I know so. As long as I'm willing to hear his voice and say yes, Lord, to what he says, I get to change the world, and so do you. And now we have a university, Christian Leadership University, with students in 129 nations. We've taught well over a million people how to hear God's voice, and they've all taught other people these four keys. We can say it in one sentence. Hearing God's voice is as simple as quieting yourself down, fixing your eyes on Jesus, tuning to spontaneity, and writing. And then once you get this stuff written down, of course, you can make sure it lines up with Scripture. And the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every rhema is, every fact is established. So I'm going to take it to two or three people I respect in the Lord who are spiritual, who I sense can hear from the Spirit. And I'm going to say, here's a journal entry I have, and I just want to make sure that in your heart, you bear witness this came from God. And that's God's paradigm. That's God's system for discovering truth. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact, every rhema, rhema is a Greek word for spoken word, every spoken word is established. So it doesn't say, Mark, you establish truth with the brilliance of your brain. He says, you establish truth by being meek, letting two or three people speak into your life, and asking them, does your heart bear witness this came from God? Now, if in my journaling, God says, Mark, love your wife, which he did say that many times because I was busy judging her rather than loving her, and he just thought I should straighten out and stop judging and start loving, I don't think I need to submit that to three spiritual advisors to make sure it's from God. I mean, this is generic Christianity. Love, be full of joy, full of peace, full of laughter. You don't have to submit those. But if it's anything edgy that you're not sure about, you're going to submit that. If it's anything you're uncertain came from God, you're going to submit that. So you're going to have a safety net so you don't go crazy and go off into some extreme thing. And God's really clear what the safety net is. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every rhema is confirmed. So those are the four keys to hearing God's voice. Stillness, vision, spontaneity, journaling. I don't suggest anyone try three of them or two of them. I suggest you try four of them as a bundle. And if you do, I guarantee you that you will be able to write out a paragraph and it'll be coming from God. And we did this in 15 minutes, but we have an hour of free audio on our website where you can listen to me cover these four keys in an hour. And then we also have a 10-hour video series of me doing it. And a 300-page book on the four keys to hearing God's voice, and a college course on coming to God, and a School of the Spirit course on hearing God's voice. So we have it available, DVD, CD, books, workbooks, so that you can fully establish these truths easily in your own life. And we got coaches, trainers who will work with you to make sure that you establish this in your life, and it's solid and not flaky.
Well, that's awesome, Mark. And I can attest to the book and the audios and the videos. I've consumed those, and they're awesome. And one of our nurse practitioners actually has been enrolled. She's getting her master's of Christian counseling, but is enrolled in the college course and has been loving that also and producing great fruit. So I can attest to these things. Mark, thank you so much. It's been an amazing hour, and I know we just scratched the surface. I know there's a ton on your website. I encourage everybody to go there. Communion with God Ministries, cwgministries.org, and tons of resources there. So y'all go check it out, and we'll definitely have to have you back, Mark. I want to, in our next visit, maybe talk more about that that intellect, because I mean that's where we're at. People have put scientists and doctors and statisticians and, you know, up on this science in general on this pedestal. I would say probably more than a pedestal, replace God with it. It's like a new religion of scientism and randomized controlled trials are the newest idol. And I'm not anti observing this amazing creation that God made, true science, observation, and making some hypotheses and then doing something. I'm not anti-science. We have to be careful, though, and I actually got this from Mark. In one of the videos you said, you know, the Scripture doesn't say to go think of things on your own. It says, come, let us reason together. So we can learn and reason and read facts. I mean, in the book, in Hosea, it says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. So it's not anti-science and anti-facts, but at the end of the day, you come and reason together with the Holy Spirit. And as Mark just explained at the end, then the safety net of two or three others you submit it to that you trust who are mature spiritually. So there's a way to walk this out, not just in our left brain, logical, scientific, you know, science is God mindset that it seems like we're kind of, a lot of us are at. And I'm tempted to get into that mindset too. So Mark, thank you so much for being obedient. 40 years of walking this way is amazing. So I encourage everybody to go to the website and learn from the beautiful blessing that we have, the fruit that Mark's producing from his obedience, to not submitting to that spirit of fear of where is his provision going to come from and what are his peers going to think and all that kind of thing. So thank you, Mark, for your obedience. Thank you for all the fruit you're producing and just for being who God made you to be.
Dr. Ben, thank you so much for having me on, and just pray God bless you and all of your listeners.
Thank you. Okay, everybody, I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. Love you. We'll be back next week with another show. No, is next week vacation? Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be on Labor Day vacation.
Yep, so next week is vacation, then the following week. So y'all hang in there. If you have submitted to the spirit of fear, simply repent. Confess it, repent, and go the other way. Get in the Word, pray, and ask God to show you. He will draw you. Get support with all the supportive materials at cwgministries.org. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Thank you, Wade, for having us. Thanks for your radio station. Be a platform for truth to be spoken.
Absolutely. And check out the website, veritasmedical.com, for archived programs and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's veritasmedical.com.